Well, that's wonderful to see. Something else, something for the season really, is the migratory birds. And you've spotted quite a few field fare, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, we've been flying over for about 2 weeks now. Had an enormous amount of flocks of field fares coming right across the farm here. Three or four flocks every day for about 2 weeks now. Varying in numbers from about 12 to close on 100. Loose flocks flying over. Coming in from Western Europe, right across the top of the farm. The sea, the east coast of the UK, is only about 20 miles from where we're standing. And so they've come across the North Sea, probably took off the previous evening. The wind's been favourable for them. It's coming in from the southwest and later from the south this morning. And they've come right over the top of the farm, and they are kind of don't be able to stop flying. They've got the migratory instinct, or the whatever instinct is inhabited them, and they just come straight across. Occasionally a flock will land on the farm here, and they'll feed for half an hour, very tetchy on the ground. Many of them will never have seen a human being before, and then they carry on flying westwards, and they'll go right across to Herefordshire and the more sort of pastoral regions of Western UK and feed there. And then later on in the winter, once it starts to warm up again, once we've got through the really cold weather, January, February time onwards, they'll come all the way back again, and then they'll often stop on the farm and feed before they do the migration across the North Sea and then head up into Northern Europe. So quite hostile conditions where they go, and they've obviously run out of food. There's been already some cold weather in Central and Northern Europe, so it's not surprising to see them coming across. So cold weather always causes these large amounts of bird movement.
Look out for the field fare and all the other migratory birds that come round at different times. Now, if you would like to send an email and ask Chris a question, maybe something that's been brought up in this week's podcast, there is an email address, but general comments and questions welcome as well. The address, chris@highashfarm.com. And Natasha and Brian have sent an email with some photographs of antlers, but when you look at the scale of them, it's about the size of one of those smartphones there that's pictured in the photograph. And Natasha and Brian say, I wonder if you could help identify and give some insight into these antlers and a track that we found while walking in a wood near our cottage in Abergavenny, lovely part of Wales. Our little dog found one on the way up. We couldn't believe our luck when she completed the pair by finding the other on the way down. We had to persuade her to give the second one up. Thankfully, she didn't chew it. All these badly behaved dogs.
absolutely amazing. And so I've been asked to identify them, and I had not the slightest problem at all, because it's so obvious that they're one of our native deer species. They actually come from the roe deer. Roebucks, and there's also they've sent a photograph of the indent, which is called a slot, and then at the back of the little footprint there are two tiny little holes where the dew claws have actually gone into the ground. It only really happens on very wet soil, and that helps to identify it, but having the mobile phone in the photograph actually helps. Now, there's a little bit of a mystery with these, because they've been freshly shed, and deer grow antlers starting in about April, May, and to start with they'll have velvet on them, and once that happens and the antlers are fully formed, the deer start to get very irritated by their antlers with this velvet on, and they will fray trees to try and rub the velvet off, and so you just have then these sharp antlers. Now, the only interesting bit there is a slight mistake in the photograph, because the left antler is actually the right one in the photograph, and the right antler is the left-hand one on the deer.
So these little branches here, yes, they should be pointing out.
They point outwards, yes. They're called medial points, halfway up, in other words. And so that's the unusual portion, that the deer has shed the antlers now, this early in the season. Now, if we ask a few questions about why that's happened, roe deer, this is their mating season, their rut. And if you have two roebuck together, they put their heads down and fight with their antlers. And this particular deer, for some unfortunate reason, has lost both his antlers. But they're very distinctive, and without a doubt, with the three points on them, and the medial point halfway up, with a little attachment at the bottom, you can actually see where it came off the skull. But don't worry, they will grow again next year. You have these kind of little buds on the top, which form in late March, early April, and then the antlers come through from there. They have a blood supply, and then the blood supply gets cut off, and they harden and become very bone-like. And you can actually see the last part of the growth tip on the antler, which has got the white on it. And that's also where they'll fray the trees, so a bit of a nuisance, really. There we are, but really lovely pictures and very descriptive of the size when you've got the mobile phone beside the picture for scale. Helps a lot.
Greetings to you in Abergavenny, the way to the west, when we're all the way to the east.
Yes, beautiful. And they've got the River Usk there, and very close to the Brecon Beacons in that particular area. Very beautiful part of the United Kingdom.
As is Norfolk, Rebecca in Tittleshall has sent a note. I really love seeing the change in the seasons, Chris, and have recently been enjoying all that autumn has to offer. My children and I are always fascinated by the different species of fungi that we see at this time of year and love to look for them on our walks. We are by no means experts, but have learned a great deal since listening to your podcast. My daughter Lily and I recently saw this, and we've gotten a photograph. It was in the leaf litter at the forest school that we attend in Attleborough, and wondered what it might be. I assume it's a type of fungi, but have never seen it before, and the forest school staff were also not sure what it could be. It reminds me a little of scrambled egg.
Yes, let's have a look at the picture, and you're quite right.
Well, someone's just spilt their sandwich on the floor.
That's what it looks like, doesn't it? It's an amazing photograph. To describe it, it's kind of looks like white scrambled egg with sort of little bits of brown in it. It's on leaf litter and general woodland debris. I can see sycamore seeds there on the ground, which is good source of nutrition for it. Now, this is quite interesting, this one, because it's not a fungi. It was thought as a kind of, years ago, as a bizarre form of fungi. Unfortunately, it's not got a very exciting common name. It's called a slime mould. I mean, children will love it. What a wonderful name to call the species.
So it's not a mushroom fungi. It's a mould.
Yes, it's got its own family group. It's been redesignated. It's been removed from the fungi family. And it's called a protozoa now. So that's the family you need to look into. And there's at least a dozen of them, these species of slime moulds, which grow here at the farm. Some of them are bright, bright yellow, almost luminescent. Some of them are pink, some are orange. And you'll often find them, particularly at this time of the year. So it starts off as a microscopic single cell, and that will feed on the woodland debris. I tell you one of its favourite habitats, it's wood chip. If you either make a path or you use wood chip on your garden as a mulch, this is the fungi. I was going to call it a fungi. This is the mould that inhabits it, and you'll see this kind of white streaking on the ground, and that's what it is. Then it starts to reproduce and gets larger and larger, and it's got a little trick up its sleeve. Once it forms quite a big clump, which you can see here, it actually starts to move. It finishes eating and feeding on the substrate it's growing on, and it moves to a new one.
This is mould, the slime that moves.
Exactly.
It's just exactly like Edgar Allan Poe, isn't it?
Exactly, which is why children will love it. There's always so much to learn. It has got a scientific name. It's called Filigo candida. There we are. And it was always thought just as a really bizarre or unusual species of fungus, but it's not. It's a protozoa. And there we are. Just love it to bits. What a wonderful question, and a wonderful pictures as well, so I could identify it straight away for you. So there you are at the forest school. You've got Filigo candida in profusion all in the school. A slime mould. I love it.
Aren't they a wonderful thing, these forest schools? They're popping up everywhere now.
Yes.
I expect it, you know, if you had your time again, you'd have rather liked to have gone to
one of those. Well, I'd have gone to school and he wouldn't have got me back out of school, whereas it was the other way around. Skinner, the blackboard is in the classroom, not outside the window, was said to me more times than I can tell you.
Chris is jealous of you, Lily. So enjoy your time at the forest school. And thanks, Rebecca, in Tittleshall there with the wonderful question about slime mould. If you've got any moulds or fungi that you want Chris to talk about, send us an email. Or maybe you've seen some of the migratory bird species that are of interest at this time of the year. Or maybe a gull that's dancing in the middle of a field to charm a worm. We'd love to hear from everyone about their sightings as they go around the countryside, all around the country. And all you've got to do is send an email. And that address is chris@highashfarm.com. Wow, busy time.
You're telling me. We're surrounded by horses on the other side of the permissive walk here, and it's entertaining Rat, who's steamed the inside of the window up on the truck. He's been locked in, so he doesn't cause any more problems.
We'll see you next week, then.
Yeah, can't wait.